The Bible says, "For God commendeth His love toward us," which means He proved His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so that's part of some of the good news. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm old enough to know that in my lifetime, the way we get information has changed quite a bit. Today, we get instant information through our phones, right? I mean, just right away, whether it's news, whether it's updates, whatever it is that you may be particularly interested in, we get these instant updates. But in the first century, there were heralds. There were heralds. And I think we got a picture of a herald up here just to give you a good idea. Not that herald. Okay, yeah, right here. Heralds that would, so H-E-R-A-L-D-S, an imperial herald during Roman times would stand out in the public square and he would declare a proclamation in the emperor's name. He didn't really have much choice in the matter. He just was out there telling what he was told. And in the Bible, there's a place where God tells Timothy to preach the word. To preach the word. And that word, preach the word, carries the image of an imperial herald just standing out in the public square, communicating with people, letting them know this all-important news that needs to be shared. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, which is where we find our text today, we find this is exactly what the Lord chooses to do. Now, right away, I want to ask a question that I ask myself every time I'm preparing to preach or to speak to you. I always ask myself this question that you may be asking today. So what? Thank you. So what? And I just do that from the perspective of, you know, what does this have to do with me today? What does this have to do with us in the 21st century as we open up to Acts chapter number 2, going back 2,000 years ago? Well, I'm glad you asked that because it's a good question. But in a nutshell, Peter stands up and he preaches the first message of the church age. And this church age is good news. Good news. And I don't know about you, but if you follow the news, I could probably look at you, and if you're a news junkie, I could probably just about look at you because you probably just look sad today or worried today. Am I right? Some people watch the news and just fill that up, and I try to watch enough news to get informed, but man, I can't stand it too long. I'll get depressed. I'm like, that's enough. I want to be informed, but I like to hear some good news every once in a while. In our text, as promised by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, God's Spirit, has come to indwell man, which is an amazing thought, isn't it? God, in the Garden of Eden, walked with man. In the days of Moses, they built a tabernacle and God dwelt among men. The same thing kind of happened through Israel's history. There was a temple, so where the presence of God would dwell among them. And interestingly enough, when you could tell when the presence of God was in the tabernacle because there would be a fire over the tabernacle. God's presence was there. But God said, that's not enough. Think about this. He came so far to come down in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ and walk with mankind. By the way, it's interesting also if you go through history and look at how the reception of mankind toward God's love in coming to them. He walked with Adam and Eve. What did they do? They chose sin over Him. You look at the law that was given to Moses and the world generally, and even the people of Israel rejected Him. Jesus Christ came. How was He received by man? Now, by some, He was received quite well, but ultimately, they wanted to kill Him. That's how man received the graciousness of God Almighty. But so God walked with man. God dwelt among man. He even came down in the form of man to walk among us. But now, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says there were cloven tongues of fire over each of them. Because just as that fire was over the temple, God says, now I want to come dwell within you. Wow, that's pretty crazy. The Creator, God Almighty, wants to dwell within us. And that's what's happening here. He wants to indwell and empower His saints. And as a sign to the unbelieving Jews that were present, He miraculously gave these disciples the ability. There were Jews coming from all over the world, all kinds of different languages. And he gave his apostles the power to preach in languages they previously did not know, so as a sign to those Jews of what God was doing. Amazing thing happened. Now, when you get to verse 14 of Acts 2, which is where we're going to start today, as a result of seeing the boldness of these men, and again, remember, these men were speaking in other languages, but if you heard them speaking in another language, you wouldn't understand that language. And you wouldn't know what they were saying. So they were being accused of being drunk. And that's where we pick up in verse 14, where the Bible says, "But Peter standing up and with the 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these men are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day," which is about 9 in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And so before I deal much with the good news of the message that was delivered on Pentecost, I want to just a couple things that I've got to address before we move on. One of the very first things that I love that's revealed in Peter standing to preach this message is, number one, it reveals that God will give ordinary people extraordinary power to make a difference in the lives of others for the influence of God. Peter was a common man. There was nothing particularly special about Peter in and of himself. But God takes this normal man and transforms his life and uses him to change the world. And I want to say today, that's exactly what God wants to do in your life. See, Jesus Christ showed up in Peter's life where Peter was working. I'm glad. You want to know something great about Jesus? Jesus shows up where people are. See, Peter was out fishing. He was out doing what he did. And Jesus met him where he was. All the while, the priest and the leaders of the temple, well, they're all back in the temple. And you've got to come here if you're going to, you know, meet with God, because that's the way religion works. But boy, I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ offers so much more than that. He offers an actual relationship. He offers something that so many people are missing. Jesus came right where Peter was, and he changes Peter's life. How many of you had your life changed by Jesus Christ? Can you remember when Jesus showed up where you were? I mean, I tell you, I can picture right now. If I would have thought of it, I could have brought the picture, because I took a picture of the house that I was in when Jesus came by where I was. It was in a mill village. I wish Phil was here today, Ron, because it was in a part of town they call Greasy Corner. That's the part of town where I was at. I mean, I was in a mill house, which is like a four-room little house. I mean, bad side of town, poor side of town, drug side of town, drinking side of town. You would just have to walk about a block and you'd see women walking the streets, and it wasn't for exercise. It was a tough area. But and then, you know, I had been seeking for fulfillment in drugs and partying and the pleasures of this life. But I tell you something, I had heard about Jesus Christ and I had heard about his love. And one night up on that little hill, I opened up the Bible and I was reading in the Gospel of John, and I began to realize as Jesus spoke to my heart, listen, Jesus came where I was. He came to Greasy Corner. He came to a bad part of town. He came to people that were doing bad things. With that first song we sang, some people might have thought, what in the world is that song about? There's a lot of talk about sinners in that song. Who are sinners? We're all sinners. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, every last one of us. But Jesus comes to where you are. Amen. So he did that with Peter. He changed his world. But here's one of the great things that I'm so excited about. Then Jesus has a plan to get you connected with a group of people that he calls the church, so that together, just an ordinary group of people can come together and help change the world. And that's what we're doing right here. That's what this is all about right here at Elk Point Baptist Church, changing the world. And you say, man, that sounds like hyperbole. That's a huge statement. But it's not, because here's the way we do it. We do it one person at a time, one soul at a time, and we change the world. We're on a great mission together. God uses a normal person like Peter to do something great. But there's another interesting thing here that to point out, a principle throughout the Word of God that the Holy Spirit magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when the Holy Spirit of God comes on the scene? What happens in a Holy Spirit-filled service? I'll tell you what happens, and I think we got the third slide here just so you can get an idea. But the Spirit, when you read this passage, this whole message of Simon Peter, the Spirit of God is mentioned twice as we read the text out of Joel. But Christ, the message is all about Jesus Christ. This is an important distinction, because when the Holy Spirit is working, He comes to brag on Jesus. The Holy Spirit never comes and brags on Himself. And that's an important thing to understand. Jesus said this, the Spirit of truth is come. When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. And notice this, He shall not speak of Himself. The Spirit comes, who does He want to talk about? Not Himself, He talks about Jesus. That's important. John, the next verse, verse 14 says, He shall glorify Me. That's important. Another thing that's important is when the presence of the Holy Spirit of God is present, it leads to preaching. In this very first service that God had in this early church, there was no singing. There was no worship team. There was no praising God. There was just preaching. And I've often heard, I don't know about you, boy, the Spirit of God really moved among us today. All we did in sang and praised the Lord the whole time. But I've never heard anybody, and by the way, I've been a part of those services, and that's wonderful when that happens. I'm not denigrating singing and worship and praise. We want that around here. We encourage that around here. But the point is, in this very first service, I've never heard anybody, I don't think, Gerald, say, man, the Holy Spirit of God worked today. Really? What happened? We didn't have singing or anything. We just walked in the church and the preacher just jumped up and started preaching. Well, then what? Well, people responded and came to Christ and got saved. Okay, well, when did they start singing? Well, we didn't even sing. Right? I just have never heard that before. But the Holy Spirit of God leads to preaching. That's just an interesting thing. What God's doing as He establishes this church, as He shows the preeminence of the preaching of God's Word, the proclaiming of God's truth in the Word of God. Another important truth I'll just mention here quickly, then I'll try to get to the good news. I'm just giving a long introduction. But another thing that's interesting here is that the way the Holy Spirit of God works, what do they start doing? They're speaking in other languages. Peter apparently then gets up and begins to preach in Hebrew, but he says to those around him, he preaches about Jesus Christ. Because in Acts 1, the Bible says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And what? Ye shall be witnesses unto Me. So the Holy Spirit is empowering them to do that. Now, I started off this message by saying it's interesting all the different ways that we communicate today. Get information. It's fascinating to me that God still says, He established it here in Acts 2, and it follows true to this day that God has chosen this unusual thing that we've got going on right now to communicate His truth. What is that? The preaching of the Word. A man that He sets aside as a herald, not the creepy guy, but the guy that says, like, just proclaims the truth, tells what he's been told, and people get to listen to what's been told. The good news. That's the way God still has it today. But, you know, that's no accident. Because even though this form of communication may seem archaic, did you know that advertising is $1 billion, and I think it's really a $1 trillion industry? But studies show that the most effective advertising, anybody want to guess? We got business people in here. What's the most effective form of advertising? Word of mouth. Word of mouth advertising still brings 5 times the sales that other media brings in. And I believe it's 64% of business executives say this unequivocally, Word of mouth. Now, we're not selling anything here today. We're giving something away. We're giving something away. You just have to take it. But the problem is, a lot of times you might have to lay down what you got to pick it up and take it. And that's the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the point is, the power of preaching. You and I, now listen, everybody says, okay, that's cool for you, preacher. You're the preacher. You, of course, you get up there and this is what you do. But I want to say today that we have all been called to herald forth and say what thus saith the Lord. If you bring people here, you know I'm going to try to do my best to tell them what God says and tell them the good news. But that's also our job as we go out into this world. We're all called to be vision carriers. Carry forth the vision. So we see the preference of preaching. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching, the Bible says, to save them that believe. It seems foolish, but this is what God has chosen. The preference of preaching, the power of preaching, is through the Holy Spirit of God. The point of preaching is preaching Jesus Christ. And then we see here the pattern of preaching. Notice this. If you are a preacher, or even as you study the Bible, there's an interesting pattern you see in biblical preaching. It always starts with revelation. Notice this in verse number 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Everyone's favorite prophet, Joel. Not too many people could tell you a verse out of the book of Joel. But this very first sermon, Peter takes his text in Joel. Now, the reason I'm pointing this out and it's significant is Joel was written 800 years before this point. Right? So he opens up an ancient book to talk to people about a present issue that's going to change and give them new life and give them future hope. I think about that today. We open up and we're reading out of a book that was written 2,000 years ago as far as the New Testament is concerned. Why would we dare read out of this book? Because we're reading God's revelation. The power of God's word is right here. But he don't just give revelation. When you go down through the text, he then begins to give an explanation. He explains. You know, some people just get up. You ever go to church and they just get up there and they'll have their just portion of a scripture reading, blah, blah, blah. Okie dokie, we check that box. But biblical preaching goes to revelation, but the next step is always explanation. Here's what it means. Love hearing the babies in church. By the way, you want to know how many kids we got here under the age of 11 years old? I believe it's around 60. I think we got 60 kids in this church under the age of 11. Can you imagine that? They're not all here today, but and there's more on the way. How about that? More on the way all the time. Love it. I love the kids, and then we just got the ages coming right up from that, young families. But I think about the revelation, the explanation, and then the application. This is how it applies to your life. And let's look at that real quickly here with the Apostle Peter as he gives this message. He opens up to Joel, and we left off in verse 17. We'll pick up in verse 18, and he says, "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." You know what I love about that? I love that idea of pouring out. Because he says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. You know, he doesn't just give a little, am I going to pour this out? Who's cleaning today? It's just water, right? But he doesn't just give, oh, here's you a little. Here's the way some people think God does the Holy Spirit or the way God does his gifts. It's like, if you're good enough, I'll just give you a little scoosh there, you know. But God does more than just give little drops and little drinks here and there. The Bible says he pours out the Spirit. I want to stop there. That's awful, isn't it? Shouldn't do that in church. But he pours out. On whom does he pour out his Spirit? On his servants, on handmaidens. That just means little girls. In those days, my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. The old man will dream dreams. The young man, in other words, he pours out his Spirit. Man, he wants to bless you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to cleanse you. He wants to bless you. But let's continue here. Verse number 19, "And I will show wonders in heaven." All of this is Joel, what Joel wrote 800 years ago. "And I will show wonders in heaven above, and in signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, if you come here very often, this verse ought to sound real familiar with you. Did you know this came out of Joel? It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now you know a verse out of the book of Joel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. And here it is. So he just gave the revelation, the word of God. Now he's going to give the explanation. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and the foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. I'm glad there's not a period there. I'm glad it's a colon, because it keeps on going. The thought is not done. Whom God hath raised up. So he died, but he rose again, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh. He goes back to Revelation now. He's reading out of the Psalms. He's reading another passage of Scripture. For David speaketh concerning him. Concerning who? Jesus Christ. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and he's on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. All right? So he gave revelation. He gave explanation. Now notice, he gives a further explanation. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried and in his sepulcher with us unto this day. And therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ. He's still preaching about Jesus to sit on the throne. And if you would, drop down with me to verse number 36. The Bible says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. All right? So here we have it. This is good news in here. You may not have picked it up with all the reading, but there was good news in there, because he said Jesus came. The context of Joel chapter 2 was the people had been in sin. I said it earlier, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born into sin. And that sin separates us from God. But God is not cool being separated from you. Matter of fact, he wanted so badly not to be separated from you that he would rather die than be separated from you. That's why he went to the cross. He died on the cross so that your sin, the payment for your sin could be handled. Jesus died. Understand this. There's probably not a person sitting here today that I'm telling you news that Jesus died. You know that probably. But what you may not know is that he died for you, because he loves you that much. He cares about you that much. He died for you. He rose again for you. There's revelation. There's explanation. There's application. And that's what we're doing right now. We're saying Jesus did all this because it does apply to your life today. It does indeed apply to your life today. And I got up to verse 37, and it says this. Now when they heard this, this is an interesting phrase, they were pricked in their heart. Isn't that an interesting phrase? Have you ever been pricked? Have you ever been pricked and it not got your attention? You don't usually get pricked and be just like, oh man, that hurt. Usually you get pricked and you're like, whoa, you get your attention, right? And that's kind of the picture that God's using right here. God, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. In other words, God was trying to get their attention. God was saying, this message is for you. This message is for you. And then they had a choice to make. How would they respond to this? Because this day, we're going to read that people responded. As you read down through there, verse 37, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, because of. I said that because that's what the of is. Every one of you, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And notice what the Bible says in verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There is good news today that even if you sat there and maybe you didn't follow much of what I even was trying to communicate today, but I hope that you can at least get this part. There's a God in heaven that knows your name. There's a God in heaven that loves you deeper than you could ever imagine. Now, I understand that life can make you question that sometimes, but I just want to let you know the truth about this. Life stinks. Life is hard. Life is not fair. There's another thing about life. This world, the way it is today, is not the way God intended it to be. It's really not. Not all the things that happen in this world are what God wants to happen. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where people have the opportunity to make choices. People often choose sin, and then that affects other people negatively. We live in a world to where bad things to happen. That's the world we live in. But in spite and in the midst of all that, I want to tell you today that God loves you. And things can still be hard after you trust Christ and receive Christ. But I'll tell you, life's a lot better when you have Jesus to go through it with you. And I can promise you today, that knowing Jesus Christ is what you need more than anything in this world. He's the one who made you. He's the only thing that will complete you, the only person, the only thing in this world that could ever complete you. 3,000 people. Man, what a day that must have been. What a day that must have been when 3,000 people responded positively to that message. I want to preach a message around this section because as we follow through Acts, we see an example of how what Christianity and what church kind of ought to be, what it was in the first century. See a lot of good examples of that. I want to preach a message soon on what's wrong with Christianity. And the answer to that question in the broad sense is a lot, if not everything. Now, I mean that in the sense of the Christianity that seems to be portrayed out in the world today. How many churches are preaching the message that Peter preached today? How many churches are getting up and they have one message and it's Jesus Christ? How many is it saying that Jesus will meet you right where you at, right where you are? How many are doing that today? How many are preaching that it's by grace through faith alone that what Jesus did on the cross is everything required and that He comes right to where you are to save you, to forgive you, to meet that need, the true need that's upon your heart? See, sometimes we get so caught up with the fruit of our problems, we miss the root of our problems. And the root of that problem is oftentimes an empty place that can only be filled by Christ. We preach Christ, amen? So 3,000 people responded, but think about this. Many thousands more also responded, but they responded negatively. I'll let you know another little secret about preaching versus just getting up here reading, just getting up here talking. One of the differences with the preaching of the Word of God is that it brings you to a place of decision. Everyone made a decision the day Peter preached this message. Everyone did. 3,000 of them made the decision to trust Christ. Thousands more made the decision to reject Christ. And my question to you today is, how will you respond to the good news? Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. And maybe you're still not sure, but would you at least maybe pray from your heart, Lord, if this is true, will you help me to accept this truth? Will you help me to take that step I need to take in believing on you? Maybe you're to the place right now to where you know that you just need to put your faith in Him. Let go of your doubts and your fears and these different things you may be holding on to. You know what I had to let go of? I had to let go of that lifestyle that I thought was going to bring me joy and peace, but was really bringing me destruction. I let go of that and said, Lord Jesus, I'm looking for fulfillment here. I'm looking for joy here. But Lord, I'm going to let go of that and I'm going to trust you. And I want to tell you something right now. I promise you one thing. I've never regretted that decision. Anybody else? You ever regretted trusting Christ? I haven't. Nobody has. So I want to encourage you today. If you've not responded positively to the good news, you can do so today. And then I also want to just say something to those that may be here today that may not know Christ, that do know Christ. Hey, will you ask God, if you do know Jesus, to give you boldness in being a herald and telling others about Him? You may be sitting there right now saying, I don't know if I can do that. I'm just asking, will you ask God to help you? Give you some boldness. Give you some clarity. I want to tell somebody else about the Lord. I want to make a difference. Will you be a vision carrier? The reason that this church is making a difference in people's lives is not because of me. It's because of Christ, number one, and it's because of others that have agreed together with me that we've got a purpose, man. We've got a mission. You've heard me say it before, but there are hurting people, broken people, lonely people. There's a hurting world all around us. And we want to make a difference because we've been there. We are there. We're broken, hurting people who have been healed or who are being healed. Amen. But it's people that have gotten together to say, you know what? I want to be one to help. I'm going to make a difference. And together, we are changing the world. But I want to encourage those of you, maybe you don't have that boldness. I want to pray that if you know Christ, you will embrace your role as a missionary. I'm trying to change the way we look at things around here. We don't just have greeters around here. We don't need greeters around here. You know what we need? We need missionaries who happen to maybe greet people. But they're coming with a purpose. And they're saying, man, this person is the one. Maybe I can make a difference in this person's life. Maybe I could help God change this person's world. We don't need any other position in this church more than we need the position of missionary. That's the number one position. And it just happens to be that whatever else other roles that we play, we're missionaries doing that work. Because ultimately, we're wanting to let God use our lives to impact somebody else. The church don't need place setters. It needs difference makers. Amen? And so pray God will help you to be a difference maker. Be a better difference maker. Be a greater difference maker. And again, I'll say right before we're dismissed today, there really, really is good news in the midst of this world. This God that I'm speaking about, who loves you and cares about you, let me tell you something else. He's got a plan for your life. He wants you to have life, which means to trust in Him, to have eternal life, but He also has an abundant life planned for you. He does. He's got plans for you, man. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. I just pray today that you'll see that there's nothing greater than knowing Him and that you'll trust Him today. And so we're going to all stand today and prepare to be dismissed. If you happen to be here today and you don't know Christ, I want to close with that verse that was written about 2,800 years ago that just simply says this, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ain't that wonderful? Whosoever. What's that mean? That means anybody. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. Whosoever. That's prefaced in the book of Romans with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. But with the mouth is made unto salvation. All you must simply do is repent and believe. You know what it means to repent? To change your mind. Change your mind. You were thinking a certain way, now you think another way. I believe Jesus will save me. I believe Jesus, my sin. I need forgiveness of my sin. Sin brings judgment and wrath. But Jesus took all of that on Himself on the cross. And I wonder, maybe you'd want to say this prayer along with me today as we have our heads bowed and eyes closed and have a moment of prayer. Would you want to pray this prayer from your heart? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for going to the cross for me. I thank you for dying. I thank you for rising again. And Lord, right now, I believe that you did that for me. And I believe, God, that if I will trust you, and I'll right now be willing to turn to you, Lord, that you will save my soul. And I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart and my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Even just through a simple prayer like that, if it's prayed from the heart, that simple, you can receive the wonderful gift of the good news of Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness and goodness. Thank you for the good news. Thank you for calling us to be heralds of that good news. I'm glad I've heard the good news, accepted the good news, and I'm glad I get to tell somebody else about you, Lord. And I pray you'll help us all to be faithful to do that. God, please, again, bless as we depart. You know and you care about every last person here today. You know what's upon every heart. You know the thought upon every mind. And I pray you'll just meet the need upon every heart today, Lord. And we'll thank you for that, God, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name.